children are very sensitive, and children sense the bitterness, or they become very sensitive to the mother and father and the stress that they themselves are carrying. And that puts more stress on the kids, and that's why kids sometimes go to drugs and alcohol, and they escape because they don't see peace in their mother and father's life.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. It's good to have you along with us today for Roel's continuing series focused on nurturing a strong, godly family. Today you'll be reassured that the Lord can heal and restore the fractures in your home if you're willing to be honest with Him and submit to His instructions. Keep listening for encouragement to equip your heart with Scripture and strengthen your spirit with prayer as you look to God for His help for your family. Here's Roel Reese with our study, Family Life.
If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 27. I am pretty amazed at how many marriages are breaking apart and how many homes are in real trouble today. I am very concerned because I know that not everyone here has it all together in their marriages. And this is a situation where God really wants to speak to our own hearts concerning our family lives. And there's a lot of people that are really hurting. Men and women are hurting tremendously. And one of the things that we need to understand is by coming on Sunday mornings or Sunday nights or Wednesday nights, if we're really coming to seek the Lord and we're coming to seek answers and solutions to our problems, then God's going to meet us. But if we're only coming to become hearers but not doers of the Word of God, then we're wasting our time. You have to be honest with yourself and you have to be honest with God if you really want God to change your life. And we were actually sharing last week concerning the exhortation that Solomon was given to us to know the condition of our flocks, or that is to know the condition spiritually of our wife and our children. Especially as a husband, I have to first of all understand that I need to be the spiritual head of my home. But I can't do it apart from Christ unless I am in total submission to God. Dr. Billy Graham said, apart from religious influence, the family is the most important society. The Bible calls for discipline and a recognition of authority. If children do not learn this at home, they will go out into society without the proper attitude towards authority and the law. There is always an exceptional child, but the average tells us that the child is largely what the home has made him or her. The only way to provide the right home for your children is to put the Lord above them and fully instruct them in the ways of the Lord. You are, as a parent, responsible before God for the home you provide for your children. You think about that for a moment, as Billy Graham has said. When you go back and you study the Old Testament and you look at the home of the Hebrew, you actually saw the importance of that mother and father, where they actually put God first in their homes. God was always to be first. This is why Jesus, in speaking to the disciples, said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you." One of the things that God speaks about in the scripture, and Solomon tells us this morning, is that we as husbands need to know the condition spiritually of our flocks. Do we know our wives? Do we know our children? Do we know what's going on within our children's life? Do you know where your child is going every night? That many times because of our problems, we neglect not only our duties within the home, but we begin to escape in our own situations. And that's not what God desires to do. Husbands take up drinking, wives watch more soap operas, and whatever else may be. But we have to deal with reality. We do have problems, and how are we going to solve our problems? If God is not first in my life, then how can I deal with my wife and my children when I am not even receiving from the Lord, which is the one that gives me my counsel? As a husband, I spend time in the Word. As a husband, I try to be the leader of my home, that when my wife is bummed out or she's going through a difficult time, that I may have the patience and the wisdom and the knowledge to share with her and to pray with her and to comfort her. That's what the Bible teaches. The first thing that Paul the Apostle in the book of Ephesians said to the husband is that a husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Sometimes because you've been married quite a few years, it seems that that marriage seems to become dry. Many people fall out of love with that person that God had given to you. And we forget that children are very sensitive, and children sense the bitterness, or they become very sensitive to the mother and father and the stress that they themselves are carrying. And that puts more stress on the kids, and that's why kids sometimes go to drugs and alcohol and they escape, because they don't see peace in their mother and father's life. I don't believe that anyone can do anything about it until the husband realizes that God calls you and he commands you to love your wife as Christ loved the church. And I don't think that a husband can do that unless you put Christ first. Unless you're putting God first and you're reading the scriptures and you're making a commitment to Jesus Christ. You see, you can't get your home together if you don't have your life together with God. Your priority is God first. Your relationship with God. And as husband and wife get their eyes focused on Christ and you get your relationship with Jesus Christ in first priority, then you're going to be able to work through these problems that you're facing. Because you're going to be biblical. You're going to stand upon God's standards biblically, and you're going to do what God recommends in His Word. For His Word works. But if you're trying to be opinionated and you're taking other people's opinions and you're not really taking God's Word as the main opinion, then you're going to fail. You're going to be frustrated in your marriage. If you're not praying, if you're not the leader in leading your home in prayer and devotionally reading the scriptures with your family, it's an impossibility. No wonder your home falls apart. Christ has to be first in order in my life. And as I confess to God, and as I repent before God, and as I really try to be a husband and to be a father, then the strength of the Lord will become greater in me. If I'm honest with God and say, God, I really have fallen out of love with my wife and I need you to renew my love for her, God will do it if you're honest. But you have to deal with truth. Otherwise, how can God really speak to you? Or how can God really work through you? He can't. That's why we have to die to self, because we as guys are pretty selfish. And then on the other side, if the husband is not loving and kind and he's not really honest in his relationship with his wife or his children, and maybe the husband is in an adulterous relationship, then how can God really work in your home? He can't. Your home will fall apart sooner or later. And your sin will affect your whole family and your friends and your job and everything else. That's why if you're in any situation today, man,
You find yourself at the office flirting with sin, playing the cat and mouse game. Hey, stop it today, man. Repent in your heart. Get it right. God has given you a wife and God has given you children until death do us part. You took the vows. You confessed that. And I think that we need to be men of our word, that we stand upon God's word and that we take and stand upon those vows that we have taken when we got married. One of the problems that the Jews had in the time of Malachi the prophet is that the guys' wives were getting old and the guys were actually murmuring and complaining because their wives didn't stay beautiful like they were when they were young. And so what they decided to do is to trade in the old model for a new one. God rebuked them. But when you got married, didn't you say for better or for worse? Some of you have forgotten that you can help your wife and your wife can help you. I mean, if you think you're so hot, look in the mirror once again. That nice chest you used to have at the gym, now it looks like it's down by your belt side. I can do whatever I want to do. Oh, no, you can't. You're only deceived. God has given you that wife to love. In Ephesians 5:25, he says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, secondly, the husband, and this is a hard one, you guys, is to be understanding with his wife. He said, you don't understand my wife. Well, Peter says that you have to be understanding how? By knowing your wife. If you don't know your wife, then you're not going to be understanding. To know her moods, to know what she likes, what she doesn't like. That comes over a period of years when you spend time with her. And Peter says that if you're not understanding with your wife, and if you're bitter to your wife, what happens? Your prayers will not be answered. Wow, that's a pretty heavy scripture. Your prayers are only going up to the ceiling and bouncing off. They're not going anywhere. God wants you to be, as the head of your home, forgiving and understanding what your wife is going through. We're pretty kind of stable in that area of stuff, but women go through a lot of things emotionally, physically, and in every way. And God wants us to be compassionate. It's hard. Believe me, it's hard. Because a lot of times we lose our patience and we'll say things that we're not supposed to be saying. And I think it's of importance that we all go through these things, not only as sheep and pastor and leaders, but everybody goes through it.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Roel Reese. It's always our joy to equip you with strength and wisdom from God's Word. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com to browse through our many resources. You can also email Roel your Bible questions and prayer requests at PastorRoel@SomebodyLovesYou.com. Now back to more of today's study.
Listen to what Malachi said concerning these unfaithful husbands. He says, yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been a witness between you and your wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife of your covenant. But did he not God make these one, having a remnant of spirit? And why one? He seeks a godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce, for it covers one's garment with violence, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously with your wife. Wow. We have to be sensitive. We have to be careful with our wives. Then thirdly, a husband needs to spend time instructing his wife, not preaching to her or giving her 2-hour Bible studies, but reading the scriptures to her. Just read the scriptures to her. Don't give her an interpretation of scriptures so that you're both in the scriptures and you're both praying together. That's being the head of your home. And then the husband not only instructing his wife, but the husband is to honor his wife. How do you honor your wife? By being understanding. Check this out. Peter says this in 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with your wives with understanding, giving honor to your wife. Why? As to the weaker vessel, and as being heir together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. There it is. That your prayers would not be hindered. So if you really respect your wife, you love your wife, you're praying with your wife, you're being understanding with your wife, you're providing for your wife because you're to be the sole provider of your home. If your wife has to work, she has to work. But if she doesn't have to, praise the Lord. That she can be at home with her children and taking care of her home. In 1 Timothy 5:8 it says, but if anyone does not provide for his own house, especially of those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Worse than an unbeliever. You need to work. You need to be hustling all the time to make provision for your house. You need to be the head and the leader of your home, spiritually, financially, and physically in every way. And then, wives. What are some of these duties that a wife has? And right away, the first thing that comes up is that wives are to be submissive to their own husbands. And other husbands say, you hear that? Amen. There it is. Be submissive. But a lot of times when you read the scripture, you're misreading the scripture. Because in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, what does it say? It says to the husband and the wife, be you submissive one to another in the Lord, in the fear of God. What does that mean? It means, the word submission in Greek means hupotasso. It's actually a military term used for authority. That is, the authority by being submitted to what? To the brass, or to the general, or those under me. You see? A husband and a wife are in submission to who? To God. And as the husband and wife are in submission to God, they're not going to be in competition one with another. But they're going to be sensitive to what God is saying to one another, and loving one another, and caring for one another, and respecting one another. When a wife understands that her husband loves her, believe me, a wife will automatically submit to her husband in the love of Christ. Automatically. A wife will not submit when the husband is attacking his wife and putting her down and doesn't see that spiritual headship in the home. She loses all respect for her husband. It's pretty heavy when you read the scriptures. But a wife will submit to her husband as he becomes the head of his home. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, this is for women. It says, this is the manner in former times the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid of any terror. So by being not only in the word, but looking at the examples of Sarah and all the other women in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, like Mary, the mother of Jesus, you come into submission to your husband in the Lord. Secondly, she is to be respectful to her husband. Ephesians 5:33 says, nevertheless, let each one of you, in particular, so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. You see? But that's under the submission of Christ. When the husband is under Christ, then the wife is able to respect her husband. Because he's loving, he's kind, he's respectful, he's responsible, he's provider of the home. All these things that women like in their husbands. And then thirdly, she is to learn from her husband. How can she learn from her husband if her husband is not in submission to God? You see? But she's to learn as a husband instructs his wife. She is to learn by listening. And as her husband sits with his wife and they communicate and he's gentle and soft when he speaks to her and instructs her even when she does something wrong, he needs to look for wisdom and knowledge on how to do it so that she not only is built up, but she's exhorted and she's going to be able to receive what you're saying to her. In the Lord, of course, you can do that. And then, of course, the Bible says also that the wife has a responsibility to love her husband. To love her husband. It says in Titus 2:4 that they may admonish young women to love their husbands and to love also their children. And the wife is to trust her husband. A wife, also a woman, is to be obedient to her husband, not as a husband lords over her or is the general of the home. But she is obedient to her husband because she sees Christ in her husband. You see? She sees how he submits and spends time in the Word and he leads spiritually in the home. She automatically will not only submit, but she will obey her husband in every area of her life. She'll respect his Word. Whatever he says goes and she respects it. It doesn't mean that she has to keep quiet. She can have an opinion. She can talk with her husband. There has to be communication in that marriage. And then, of course, this is a big one, but a wife is to please her husband sexually. And same way with the husband. Now, this is a big one because this is the one in counseling. People say, well, you know, she doesn't please me. And see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, there's a situation that a lot of times men are selfish in their lovemaking with their wives. And lovemaking doesn't start when you come home and you go to bed. Lovemaking starts when you actually get up in the morning and you work through the whole day in your marriage. That's the way it starts. Because there are sometimes problems where you have to be understanding with your wife that she's tired, she's been through a lot today, and you have to be compassionate. Where other times, maybe you're actually going through a problem in your marriage, and she is getting bitter, and she doesn't want anything to do with you physically. But one of the things is this, that Paul says, if you're having problems with your wife or husband, you're not getting along well, then what do you do? You separate. That doesn't mean you go get your apartment, he gets his apartment. He says you separate in the home. You separate for what? To pray and to fast so that God can heal your marriage. And what do? You pray and you fast and you don't have sex. You separate. But during that prayer and fast time, if he becomes tempted or you become tempted, he says break the fast, break the time of prayer, and come together unless Satan will tempt you and you'll fall into adultery. You see? Be very careful with that because we have counseling all the time with those problems. You have to be sensitive. And of course, the only one that can give you love for your wife or your husband is the Lord. I cannot do that for you. Nobody else can hear. You got to really seek the Lord.
Well, it's good to know that God is greater than our sin. And when we come to Him in humble surrender, He can heal and transform our family. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Ries. If you'd like to hear today's lesson, Family Life, in its complete form, we'll be happy to send a copy to you for a donation of $5 or more. Just call us at 800-634-9165. Now, as you commit to seeking the Lord for the health of your home, we'd like to offer you a new book from Raul and his late wife, Sharon. It's titled, Raising a God-Fearing Family in an Ungodly World, featuring scriptural wisdom as well as insights from the Reese's personal parenting experience. This resource will help you navigate the challenges of bringing up your kids in a society that's increasingly opposed to the Lord. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to order Raising a God-Fearing Family in an Ungodly World. We'll send your copy for a donation of $12 plus shipping and handling. That's 800-634-9165. Or write to us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Our Somebody Loves You resources are easy to access at work, on the road, or from the comfort of home. Make the Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel your go-to for biblical teaching on podcast or streamed live. You'll especially want to join Roll for Straight Talk on that channel Tuesdays at 10 a.m. West Coast time. Your tax-deductible gifts enable us to keep sharing God's Word, and we are grateful for your partnership. Well, it's always a pleasure to dive into God's Word, and we invite you to join us again next time as we resume this family life series with a call to be more intentional about establishing a firm foundation of faith for your kids. This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.